Close right here at the start. Some of you may not know who I am, so I'm going to start out with what I've been doing, who I am, what I exactly is. So this is a picture from one of my trips. This is actually from New Zealand. This happens to be one of the lakes we stopped by on one of the longest days we had traveling. So who am I? That's a lot of things. But for one, my name is Tim Downing, Timothy Downing. This is actually going to make a lot of people those that know the movie Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. That is Bilbo Baggins' hole in New Zealand at Hobbiton in the North Island of New Zealand. We got to go there for a debrief session for one of my schools that I'll be talking about in a little bit. I am a missionary with Youth with a Mission, also known as YWAM. That's the logo right there in white. It is an organization, or not technically an organization anymore, a missions movement that is interdenominational and independent of like any other doctrines. It's worldwide. It's been around for over 50 years. The founder, Lauren Cunningham, started it, him and his wife. They're based out of Kona, Hawaii. But that's not where we don't have a world headquarters. We do just about everything in missions. If it's a missions movement, YWAM pretty much touches on it. From Bible translation to street evangelism to whatever God calls people to do, YWAM will support it and say, hey, that's God's calling. You need to go follow that out with your life. So that's who they are as an organization. That's super brief. You can look them up on YWAM.org. They have all their 18 foundational values. My YWAM adventure started in 2011 in YWAM Kona, Hawaii, at the University of the Nations campus there. I took what's called a discipleship training school. It's just YWAM's Youth of the Mission's entry-level program. You have to take one just to work in the mission. And then that was a performing arts-based school, and we did a hour and 15-minute production 60 times in 2 months in Japan and South Korea in the summer of 2011. We were there in Japan 4 months post-tsunami. So we were in the tsunami district for about 6 days, ministering to the people there as well. And then we went to Korea and just worked our tails off. 5 months after that school ended, after I got back from Korea, I went to YWAM Cascade, Idaho, to do Bible School for the Nations, which is another one of many Bible schools that YWAM offers. And that was 4.5 months of studying the Bible straight. Study the whole Bible in 4.5 months, you learn a lot. So that was an amazing school. I learned so much in that. Then I took about 2 years off, just trying to figure out where I was going in life, trying to figure out where I was going in missions. Kind of felt the leading to go back to Kona, and I came back to Kona last September, which is hard to believe it's been a year since I left. And I did what's called Foundations for Counseling Ministry School. And that school is meant to take you and take up all your problems that you have in your life and break you down and heal you up so you can go out and counsel people later and give you the tools to do that. So it's 6 months of yourself. 3 months in Kona, Hawaii, and 3 months in beautiful New Zealand as well. And from December to early March. And that school was super influential in my decisions of my life and how you go about life and how you see the world, how you see even in God is influenced by your background and the junk you have that builds up over time. When you have time to actually dig into that, it's rather painful. 6 months, but super emotional and super fun at the same time. I really got to know really a lot of people on that trip. My team, I missed dearly this morning, because last time I preached in New Zealand, and that was the first time I ever preached a sermon was in New Zealand, and that was with that team. And so, and then right after that school, actually, I had 31 hours in Oregon at the C family for the first time in 6 months, and then I flew back to Cascade, Idaho, to take a school to start new ministries. And it was a 7-week school about to start new ministries, how do you do that, and who they are, and all the legal jargon you need to know to start a new ministry, or inside the organization of YWAM, or outside, even starting new businesses, kind of as missions was kind of part of the aspect of that school. I'll go more into that at school probably next week when I'm talking on the stuff I'm talking about next week. So just a few pictures. There you go. So that is where part of Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia was filmed. And just, it was really fun. We spent 3 hours up there. I spent most of that time alone. If you guys saw a support video from that time, that was from where I was at that time. We did some ministry. This is one of my friends. She just got married. She was doing a dance in the streets of Auckland. We were doing street ministry in Auckland. Here, four of our teams went up and did this camp with these kids. And we just were asked to minister to students. And we just ministered to the kids there. It was really a good time. We really saw breakthrough. That picture, we were seeing guys like freed from so much stuff. It was really cool. Another picture, just saying where we were at. She was our contact in Christchurch, New Zealand, which is in the South Island, where we spent 2.5 months. She was our contact's daughter, and we really got to know her, really got to know the family really well. Had to put some food on it. That is a donut and from Sheffield Pie Shop in New Zealand, which is a super famous pie shop over there. So that was probably one of the best donuts I've ever had. Also one of the most messy. This is a seal pup, sea lion pup. We literally got to go. In the States, you can't get close to these. Over there, they don't care. And so I got this one actually touched my hand a couple times on two different trips that we went to that location. So just a little bit of fun having. And driving on the wrong side of the road. That was new. That picture was taken within hours of landing. I was driving a stick shift van, 8-passenger van, on the opposite side of the road that you do here. So that was interesting. Shifting with your left hand is different than shifting with your right. When you haven't shifted in a long time, it's all weird. And the streets were all broken up from the earthquake in 2011 in Christchurch as well. Another beautiful lake picture from New Zealand. This is where they filmed part of the Hobbit, the Lake Town scenes. This is where it's at. We got to spend time next to the water. It's like glacier-fed water. It's super nice, super tall mountains all around. The people that are in our team that hadn't been seeing mountains before, like a lot, were stopping every 2 seconds to take pictures. I grew up here, so mountains are nothing new. But this is just an amazing part of the trip we took. We got to go out and explore as well as do ministry. This is the team I was with. There were 5 guys, 5 girls. We spent 2.5 months in 1 house, 1 shower, 2 toilets. That's it. 2.5 months getting to know everybody in more intimate ways than you ever thought you would. Two of these people ended up getting married just recently, so that's kind of cool from that trip. And there we are at Hobbiton, finishing up our trip. This is one of the last times we were in New Zealand, right before we took off and flew all the way back to Hawaii. And then I went to Idaho, like I said. I went to Cascade, Idaho, where I went from 6 months of summer to this. To snow, living in a train caboose that was renovated into a house. It was just a wood stove and some electric heaters to keep you warm at night. I'd say I was rather cold. This is the group of people I was with. This school was designed to start new ministries. So everybody in this picture, a couple of them are working together, but some of them are starting new ministries all around the world. This lady is starting a sex trafficking around houses. He's starting a base in Utah, which is the first ever YWAM base ever to be in Utah. They're starting one in Namibia, Africa, and she's going to start a coffee shop in Toronto, Canada. And him are starting. They started a YWAM base in Idaho, in Boise, which is an offshoot of the Cascade, Idaho base. And then the lady in pink, she is starting a base in Mexico. So these are the people I spent. After spending 6 months in an emotional-charged environment, I went to these guys to be in an analytical environment, and it was just total culture shock coming back. Back and forth, I had no time between schools. I literally had 4 days between all the schools after everything ended to get to this place, and then I came home. can't work. And then just a little crazy picture after we graduated from 7 weeks. This is after we all presented. Seven people presented presentations, 30 minutes each, all on the same day. So we started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we ended with me at like 5 o'clock at night. So it was a very long day for us, so we were a little excited to be done with the school. So, who am I? Well, I'm a world traveler. This is a beach in New Zealand. I'm a friend. She became one of my closest friends just to have fun with during a very, very emotionally charged time. I'm a teammate. That's the team in New Zealand. We went cave streaming in the dark. You literally walk through a cave that has a stream going through it, so you're in like water up to your waist, and it's pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. You turn off your headlamp. So that was pretty fun. I'm an uncle. These are my niece and my nephew, and I have another nephew on the way. So I'm pretty excited to see that. Just having fun. I do this with my niece every time she comes. We go on my laptop and we do. This is fun. I'm a brother. These are my two older brothers. Some of you haven't ever met them because they live in Portland area. But yeah, so that was after when I came back from Hawaii. We went to a Portland Timbers game. I am also one of three sons. Pastor James is my father, which is weird to say, but up here I don't admit that very often. Just because I like keep my cover in certain places, but I am a son. But I'm a son, but I also have a son of somebody on here on earth. I am also a son of the creator of the world. That may really sound really weird to you, that you can be a son. You can be a son of the creator of the world, but it's true. You may not know that, but you've been accepted as that. The devil doesn't want you to believe that you're a son of the Creator of the Most High, that you are royalty. Because you believe that, you can accomplish anything in the world. You can do anything for God. There's nothing stopping you because you believe you know where you came from and you're a son of the Creator. So, and that the devil just wants to make you a slave. Enslaved to what he wants you to do is to believe that you're not able to accomplish those things and to put fear into your life and put the things. So, what are you? Are you living as a slave or are you living as a son? That's where we're going today. So, if you would like to open your Bibles to Galatians 4, we're going to focus on Galatians 4, 4 through 7. I'm going to, when you get there, we'll read 4, 1 through 7, just for context. Just I like having the context of the scriptures, just to see where we're going. So it says, Paul's writing to Galatia here, and it says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, he is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under the guardians and the managers until the set date by his father. In the same way, we were also children. We were enslaved to elementary principles of the world. But when fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might be received the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir through God. We were slaves to the elements of the world, to the spirits of the world. I was reading from ESV translation, if it's a little different from your Bibles. But we were slaves to the world. Though God, in the fulfillment of time, sent his son to earth, where he was crucified for our sins and raised from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the grave, taking back the keys of the grave in Hades, which it says in Revelation, giving us our freedom from sin and from slavery when we choose to believe in Him. When you believe in Christ, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. You're adopted into sonship. And sonship being, I'm just going to clarify, sons and daughters, so don't get mad. That is a clarification that's in there. It's sons and daughters. When I say sons, I will be saying it's girls as well, so don't criticize me for that. Don't kill me for that. So, sons and daughters, you're princes and princesses of the King. Because of this, He invites you into an intimate relationship as a child of His, to call Him Abba, which in Hebrew, or Aramaic, means daddy. It's the most intimate form of father in Scripture. I found it really interesting that Paul jumps from Greek to Aramaic in the middle of a passage when he's talking to Greeks. And so they also obviously knew what that word actually meant because they had such a deep meaning. So that makes, when he says you're Abba daddy, you're daddy to God. That makes us royalty. I tend to say we don't act like we're royalty. We're not acting like we're sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have a tendency not to act or believe. We believe it instead that we are lower, that we are more like orphans. The term slavery and orphan, when you're talking in theological terms, is pretty close. And a lot of people combine those two words, just the clarification there. And so, but I mean, we don't want to believe we're princes and princesses of the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, the greatest kingdom on earth, on everywhere, anywhere, in the kingdom of heaven. I know I'm guilty of believing this, where I don't believe that I'm able to do something God wants me to do. But I believe God wants you to encourage you to go after it. Now, I really didn't start going after that until somebody was influencing into my life and talking to me about it. I mean, when I went to Wyrum, Idaho the first time for the Bible School for the Nations, is when the staff of that school and certain other older people in that school were pushing into my life and saying, you are royalty, you are a son, you have purpose, you have vision, you need to go after what God is calling you to go after. And He has a plan for your life. And when somebody challenges you into that, you go into that, it's amazing. They bought me a book that same year, and I started reading. I still haven't finished the book. I'm not a fast reader, and I don't keep reading, so I have 2 years, 3 years in this book, and I haven't finished it, but it's such a good book. It's totally, just totally amazing. It shows the royalty of God. So why is this important? And why is this important to understand if you're acting as a slave or as a son? Well, I believe it impacts every aspect of your life. If you're believing you're an orphan or a slave, you obviously don't know who you are. You're not accepting the reality of who you are as a child of God. And it affects the world around you, how you view God, how you view theology, how you view the people in your life, other believers in your life. I mean, this became super evident. I first got introduced to this concept in Idaho, and then when I went back to Kona this last year, it got pounded into our schools because it was so important to our lives. We read so many books in this counseling school that I would recommend most of them. Some of them are really hard to read outside of the school. But one of them was called Spiritual Slavery to Spiritual Sonship by Jack Frost. This is a picture of the book. I highly recommend you read the book. A lot of some of the stuff I'll be pulling today is from this book. And that's what it's about. It's what God wants us to be. He wants us to become spiritual sons and daughters of His kingdom and to accomplish what He has planned for your life. So, just to show this, in the book, in the middle of this book, he lists 20 areas of life or of belief or whatever to show the difference between an orphan and a son, or a slave and a son. But if I was to go through all 20, we would be here all day because it's 10 pages in that book. So I'm just going to try to hit on a couple of them, and then hopefully you see the importance of starting to believe that you are a son and you can accomplish whatever God calls you to accomplish. If you've accepted Him as Savior, He is Lord, but you are also a son. You are equal to heir. You are royalty in Him. So, The first area I want to go into is image of God. Image of God seems super easy. Like, how do you see God? It's easy to describe. But an orphan sees God as a taskmaster. Like, you have to do this, you have to do that to get God's favor and to get God's love. You have to do this, whatever you need to do. But that's just not true. We view God in so many different ways, and I believe this is super. I know I have believed this in my past, that I have to do this and this. God wants me to do this and this and this. But when you release yourself from that freedom, that God's not that, that God, in fact, and a son sees God as a loving father who accepts them unconditionally. God's love is unconditional. It's an agape love, unconditional love. And His love is just so amazing. When you accept His love that He's given to us, we see what He is truly going after and what you can truly believe. When you start walking this out, I believe you see the changes in your life. You see God as a person that loves you unconditionally. It means you can't do anything that He won't love you. No matter what mistakes you make, He's always there to pick you up and to set you back on your feet. It's unconditional. It doesn't have conditions. Like, it's so easy for us to see this as, yeah, I have to do this. But I believe it's hard for us to see that because sometimes we don't really have a lot of us base God on what our earthly fathers looked like, which is really common. And so if your earthly father was not nice, not straight up, didn't love you, and you had to do this and this and this to get His love, that's usually how you see God. But God invites you to see Him as somebody who loves you unconditionally and doesn't expect anything from you. He gave His Son for you that you could come and be His Son and be adopted into His life. And it's just so, so, so key. The other one is need for approval. We're all wanting to be accepted by something, by someone, by some standard. We want to be approved. We want to do good. We're worried about, oh, I need to do this because I won't be approved if I do that. People won't like the things I'm doing. I know that's true. I've seen that in my own life. When I was studying this out the last couple of weeks, you see that God loves me for who I am. That means I don't have to change it. I'm going through new ministry changes, which I'll talk about more next week. But it's, when you've seen what I want to go after, it's really challenging. Like, what are people going to think? People are going to think I'm nuts because this is totally not a typical missionary go after this kind of thing. But let me tell you, it needs to be taken. So that says an orphan is addicted to and strives for praise, approval, and acceptance from man, which that does not satisfy. Let me tell you, I know that firsthand. I've tried to get the acceptance from people. When you look at God over people, it's so much better. It will lead you towards your fear of failure and fear of rejection when you believe this. Instead of going after things, you will be afraid to go after them because you're afraid somebody won't approve of what you're doing. But your approval doesn't come from people. It comes from God. So, a son are not influenced by the struggle and the fear because they know they are totally accepted by God's love and justified by His grace. God has this amazing plan for your life, and you don't have to strive to get it. You don't have to strive for His approval. You got His approval. You got His approval when His son came and died on His cross and was raised again because He made a way for you to come. And that way cleanses you from needing the approval of man, because man doesn't give you anything. Man will lead you to failure and failure and will disappoint you over and over again. I'm sure some of you have seen that in your lives as you go out about your life and what you're doing. But God is totally there for you, and you're not influenced when you believe that He is there for you. And I just encourage you to go after what you believe. And these are just some of the aspects. These are just two of the aspects that Jack Frost talks about in his book, Spiritual Slavery to Spiritual Sonship. So, again, I recommend you just read that book, I believe it would change your life. I mean, it's not that expensive, I don't think. I think you can listen to it online and listen to it if you get an audio copy too. I'm not positive of that, but it's a book that just it's easy to read. Some of the books I read in school were super hard to read. They were super analytical, and they were super, like, this is how this goes, da 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 da. This book is super, like, hey, this is life. This is how we go about it. He tells stories. Guys that like fishing, he tells fishing stories. All throughout it, he talks about being in the sea, the Drake Sea near Antarctica, and going to Antarctica and fishing in there and doing exploratory stuff in there. So it's really cool. I really highly recommend that book. But I believe we are in a constant state of having to evaluate these things in our lives. We have to go about what we're looking at. What are you looking at? Why are you looking at this? Why are you looking at that? When I look at these aspects, like I was going through this book trying to figure out what am I going to teach on? What aspects do you want to come out, God? And it was just like, oh, okay, I can't touch on all these, but you're looking at yourself going, hey, I have that problem, I have that problem. And it's just the reevaluation every time. It's not like you one day you get it and suddenly it's perfect the rest of your life. I believe it's constant temptation comes into your life. Constant things come in. You just got to constantly be going back to God for His truth and accepting that that is the reality it is. It's not the reality that man says, that the devil wants you to believe, that you're a slave, that you're orphan, but instead you have been adopted into the sonship of God.
Amen.
God's plan for us is just so amazing, and nothing can stop it when you are believing that you are a son and you're a daughter of Him. And I just awesomely encourage you to go after God's truth and what He believes for you and in your life. Just a quick thing that just really stood out to me on the same topic in the scripture was Ephesians. And it was Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read 3 through 5. And it says, "Blessed be God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ and with every spiritual blessing in every heavenly places, even as He chose us before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will." Verse 5 really stood out to me. Hopefully you can read that. It just really stood out to me as He, in love, He predestined us for the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Through the adoption, you became a son because Jesus Christ came and died. You're a son because of His love. And it's His love that we enter into this amazing relationship with Him. And I encourage you to go after what it means to be a son. Ask her, what does it mean to be a son and a daughter for you? What do you want from my life? And I believe that would just change the way you see things. It's changed the way I've seen things. I mean, He has chosen you to enter His family. He chose you. You didn't just choose Him by random. He chose you before the foundations of the world. He chose you. So you are a part of His family. Are you believing you're a part of God's family? Are you believing, or are you just a part of a church family? Are you just going to church just to do it? Are you a part of His family? He brought you into His family because He loves you unconditionally and wants you with Him forever as sons and daughters. He wants you with Him forever. He makes Him coming in and making us His family. He's the King of Kings, which is above all. But that doesn't just make you a son. That makes you royalty. You're a royalty of the kingdom of God, which makes you a prince or a princess of the King, which means you have the power of the kingdom, which is a totally different topic, but I'm not going to go into it. It's you are royalty, and He's brought you into His family because He loves you unconditionally and He wants you to live with Him, be with Him forever as princes and princesses of the kingdom. And that's just so amazing to me that God can love us that amazingly and that full of life. It's just so awesome. Let's pray. Dear Father, just thank you for this day and just your life. You've given us rest, Lord. I pray that you just pour your spirit over these people, Lord, and pour your spirit over us as we ask to just grow, to become sons and daughters of your kingdom, to believe that we are sons and daughters, and we have the power to be sons and daughters, and to go out and change the world, no matter where that is in our lives, Lord. I pray that you just give these people hope and dreams and visions for the future, Lord. Amen.